Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, we find the Lord saying to ancient Israel through the prophet Isaiah, "Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Jehovah will have mercy upon him." It is a wonderful thing to know that God's mercy is extended to humanity. But the question arises in my mind, why are so many men and women reluctant to respond to the Lord's invitation? Now, there may be as many answers to that as there are people. However, I want us to notice the responsibility here, where the initiative is found. What did God say? He said, "Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Or let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy upon him." Indeed. Well, that's my responsibility. You see, God has provided for fallen humanity's reconciliation, to bring sinful man back to a conciliatory, harmonious, peaceful relationship with himself. Now, he's done everything within his power to that end. You see, he so loved sinners such as I that he allowed his innocent, guiltless son to die the terrible death of crucifixion to provide for my redemption. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. I have sinned, could not pay the penalty, and justice stands squarely in the way of mercy and demands that the penalty be paid. God is as just as he is merciful. How will he handle this? Well, God is all-powerful. Why doesn't he just wipe the whole slate clean and, of course, start over? Friend, that little word, L-O-V-E, has more power than I can consider. It's just beyond my ability to grasp the love of God. Created man in his own image, the object of his love. Oh, he had provided an earth, as Isaiah tells us, chapter 45, verse 18, not to be a waste, but to be inhabited. Everything here is for the happiness, the welfare, the benefit, sustenance of humanity. The crowning creature of God's creative powers. And yet, man sinned against God, and sin alienates man from God. Well, it would just seem that as he did with regard to the antediluvian world, just wipe it out. No, he didn't wipe it out completely. Noah was a righteous man, you remember. Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. Oh yes, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Oh, in consequence of the righteousness of one man, what really occurred? The human family enjoyed continuity. Through Noah, the ark was prepared, and he, his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, their sons, and their wives, eight souls, as Peter tells us, altogether were saved in the ark. It is a wonderful thing when I stop to think about the fact that though I am a sinner, God so loved me that he made provision for my redemption. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, at verse 21. We see him who hath been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, who because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste of death for every man. Hebrews chapter 2 at verse 9. God has provided through his Son for my salvation. And what did he say? Seek ye Jehovah. I must respond. You see, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9, "For by grace have you been saved through faith." And that not of yourselves. No, it's provided by the grace of God. There is no way that I can be sufficiently righteous to obligate God to save my filthy rags. The very best I could do. Not a righteous man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 at verse 20. It is by the grace of God that provision has been made for the redemption of a sinner such as I. But just a moment. It's by grace, that's God's part, unmerited favor. I don't deserve it. Through faith, that's man's part. Faith is a response to what God has provided through His grace. We've noticed Titus 2, verse 11, the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And yet, most men are lost. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the Lord points that up very clearly. But if the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, why are most men lost? You know, the context of a verse is always important. As Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, rightly dividing the word. We must put it together as it is revealed. The psalmist said, you remember, verse 160, Psalms 119, the sum of thy word is truth. Until we have all that God has said on any one subject, we do not have the truth. So salvation is by grace through faith, right, Ephesians 2, verse 8. Oh, but the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, Titus 2, verse 11. That's correct. But notice, for the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us. That's in keeping with Genesis 6, isn't it? Noah found grace in the eyes of God, verse 8, right. What did God do? Gave instruction in preparation for the ark, through which they were lifted on the surface, the crest of the waters, and saved. Oh, the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a people for His own possession, zealous of good works, through verse 14. So the grace of God provides for my salvation through a system of instruction. That's right. Seek ye Jehovah while He may be found. How can I do that? Friends, through the instruction contained in this blood-sealed covenant, the New Testament. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. Oh, and the cardinal teaching of this book is that salvation is by faith. Oh, faith responds to the goodness of God provided by His unmerited favor through the death of His Son. But why? Why are men and women reluctant to call upon the Lord for the salvation which is a free gift? Romans chapter 6 at verse 23. Now let's look at the broader picture for just a moment. You know, those who have studied such matters tell us that civilizations pass through several stages, from bondage to liberty, from liberty to independence, from independence to wealth, from wealth to luxury, from luxury back into bondage. We can't tolerate wealth. It is a rather strange thing about humanity. When the blessings of God provide for us an abundance for some reason, we turn away from the Lord. You know, just the reading of the Old Testament makes that evident, doesn't it? God will bless Israel, give them victory over their enemies, establish them in peace and tranquility, and of course they then immediately begin to worship stone and gold and every kind of an idol. Selfishness, the old flesh, takes over. Friend, we in this country today are in danger. There is no question about that. You can look about you, and as you view and read the news, radical changes are being made. This country was founded upon biblical principle, the freedom of man. All men are created equal. The Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, providing for individual freedom, the freedom of religion, the expression of the desires of the heart within the framework of existing law. Oh, but that is rapidly being undermined today. In the classroom, even in our elementary schools and our high schools, want a moment of silent prayer? Hey, you've got 25 students that desire that. You've got one student that has no parental guidance, at least from a solid standpoint, Their parents obviously have no knowledge of God, and so they are atheists. Oh, they object to that. Why would you object to that? I mean, if you don't want to pray, you don't have to pray. If you don't want to have a part in this moment of silence, just sit there till the others... No, Satan doesn't do it that way. You see, Paul said, if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is veiled in them that perish, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should not dawn upon them. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 4. So then Satan is at work in this whole world. Sure, he's the God of this world. There's no question about that. And he's using this one and this particular organization and that arrangement to destroy spiritual concepts. And if we aren't careful, as parents, we are falling in line with Satan. You remember verse 52 of Luke, what is it, chapter 2? Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Isn't that something? Well-rounded. Oh, today, though, we've pretty well dropped one of those, advanced in wisdom and stature and favor with man. That's the basis of our learning, the instruction that we receive. Want to get ahead in this old world, advance in wisdom. Well, of course, in stature, we grow and we become stronger and we're in favor with man. Friend, you're made in the image and the likeness of God. James chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. All that you are, everything that you have, is a gift from God. Oh, and nations? Ah, yes, there is no power but of God. We understand that. Let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. Powers that be are ordained of God. Therefore he that resisteth the power withstandeth the ordinance of God, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. You can read that in Romans chapter 13. So God sustains civil government. Right. They run the course, bondage to liberty, liberty to independence, independence to wealth, and then from wealth to luxury, and we have reached that stage today. And did you know we are involved in borrowing money from heathen nations that do not know God? No, they still have their idol temples, and they bow down to hunks of stone, and they don't know the Almighty. And we are becoming rapidly indebted to such people. And if we aren't careful, they're going to gain sway over the... Well, somebody says, what can we do about... Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth the nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. You want to maintain the freedoms that we enjoy in this great land? Friend, begin to read with an open mind God's Word. Begin to study the principles upon which life is actually founded. If somebody says, well, now it's a possession of material, friend, you didn't bring it and you won't take it, as we've often said. And while you're here, it isn't yours. No, the Lord allows us to use it. And Jesus raised that question, didn't he? Matthew 16, verse 26. For what shall a man be profited if he should gain the whole world? Forfeit his life. You'll only be here for a short time. Oh, but you're made in the image and the likeness of God. That is, you're an immortal spirit, possessed of free moral agency. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that I've placed before you life and death, the blessing and the curse, therefore choose. Deuteronomy 30, at verse 19, the choice is yours. Now these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. What's your choice? Where do you plan to go? Oh, but if you want to make life better, if you want to maintain the peace and harmony that characterizes the great land in which we hold citizenship, righteousness exalteth the nation. And it's interesting, back Genesis 19, God had determined to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Every kind of sin, homosexuality being a basic problem in those cities. And God determined, because of that kind of ungodliness and iniquity, that he would destroy them. Well, Lot lives in Sodom. I mean, and he's the nephew of Abraham. And Abraham pleaded with God. He started out, you know, with 40 or 50 righteous. Oh, God said, if I find that number of righteous. Well, old Abraham kept on reasoning and brought it right down. But suppose there are only 10 righteous people in the cities of the... God said, if I find 10 righteous people in the cities of the plain, I'll spare the whole place for the sake of the 10. But you know the story. He destroyed them so completely that today their exact location cannot be established on the map. But 10 righteous people would have preserved the cities of the plain? That's correct. How much righteousness will it take to maintain the freedoms that we enjoy? I have no idea. Oh, but I know that righteousness is an individual matter. Somebody says, yeah, but I'm not acquainted with Psalms 119, verse 172. Let my lips sing of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Yeah, but someone says, I'm just one person, right? But you're made in the image and the likeness of God Almighty. And when you give your life in faith to Jesus Christ, you can't lose. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. No question. No. I can't necessarily change the world. I can exemplify the kind of life that man should live, and that's my privilege, or, if I must, responsibility. Or I can teach God's Word, given the opportunity, but I can't convert everyone. No. But then, that's beside the point. God's talking to me. What do you say? Seek ye Jehovah while He may be found. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord. Right, that's Romans 8:28. And to prove it, all you have to do is drop down three verses, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? And He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall not He also with Him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? It's Jesus Christ who died, was buried, raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Anguish? Nakedness, famine, peril, sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We were accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ooh, through verse 39, the end of the chapter. Isn't that wonderful? I remember the Hebrew writer made a statement similar to that, didn't he? Hebrews 2:14-15. If since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, He also Himself partook of the same, that through death He might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Isn't it wonderful? We don't have to fear death when we follow the Lord. As a matter of fact, Paul said, didn't he? Philippians 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Oh, no question about that. Put off the old flesh, there's perfection, made in the image and the likeness of God. But you need to be aware of the fact that you're equipped for perfect punishment or perfect bliss, depending upon your response to the Lord's invitation. Individual responsibility. Seek ye Jehovah while He may be found. You know, there's a possibility that some do not seek the Lord because they are not really conscious of the fact that they're lost. Many people seem to reason, well, now, hey, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't curse, I don't mistreat my fellow man, I love my family, I'm a good... That's great. Oh, there's no question about that. That's wonderful. We need more of that in this whole world today. But you see, that does nothing to reconcile man to God. We are unaware of the fact that we are in a fallen estate. The only means of reconciliation is the instruction provided through the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son. I need to take advantage of God's grace through my compliance with the instruction given in the blood-sealed covenant of the Son of God. That's the only possible way that I can be saved. We've used Cornelius many, many times. Acts chapter 10, devout man. Oh, he feared God with all his house. He prayed to God always. He gave much alms to the poor. You say, man, that's a fine fellow. And he's deeply religious. He's devout. Fears God with all his house. Man, he's going to have a friend. That's wonderful, and that makes for a better world. And we thank God for people like that, but that won't save your soul. You remember that angel, and this was in the miraculous age of the church, of course. At the ninth hour of prayer, appeared to him and said, "You send for Peter. He'll tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved." Devout man, feared God with all his house, prayed to God always, and abounded in his liberal concept and helping the... Right. It's interesting, isn't it? Paul makes the statement, what is that, Romans chapter 10, verse 12, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. Oh, the same Lord is Lord of all, is rich toward all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent, even as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. Oh, but they did not all hearken to the glad tidings. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our message? So then belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, American Standard. So then faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gospel then must be heard. I must hear the instruction of the Lord. And the only way that I can call upon the Lord for salvation, the only way that I can seek the salvation that God has made available through the death and resurrection of His Son is to comply with this instruction. What does the Bible call that? Oh, the Bible calls that faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, you remember. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abel offered, you recall. Hebrews 11, at verse 4. Faith makes itself manifest in simply doing what the Lord has said. That's the way we call upon the Lord for salvation. No, but someone says, preacher, I know my heart. I mean, I have a right relationship. Friend, the heart is deceitful above all things and exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17, isn't it? Verse 7. So the wise man wrote in Proverbs 28, verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Now, that won't work. The only way that I can be assured of a right relationship with God is read it in this book. What did the Lord say for me to do? Oh, he said, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. John 8, verse 24. He said in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. And he said, of course, in Matthew 10, 32 through 34, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But to whosoever shall deny me before men, him shall I deny before my Father who is in heaven. Oh, and Paul said, you remember, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, in Acts chapter 8, verse 37, that eunuch hearing the Christ preached said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, and he commanded chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Why did he baptize him? Oh, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In Mark 16, at verse 16. Of course, he that believeth not shall be condemned. Oh, seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only source of instruction through which a sinner such as I can come into a right relationship with God is in this blood-sealed covenant, the New Testament. Friends, read God's word. Give your life in humble obedience to His will.